The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. That is hopefully a familiar blessing. It's from Numbers 6, and that's what we're going to be talking about. Last week, we talked about the beginning of the service, the call to worship, and that invitation into the presence of God and into an encounter with God. And a couple of new thoughts even to me last week were that it begins even as you walk into the building and you are greeted and you greet each other, just like Jesus greeted the Samaritan woman at the well and engaged her in a conversation that led to worship and led to who he was as the Messiah. Our worship begins as soon as you, perhaps even as you're driving to church, but as you come into the presence of the Lord. Today we're starting at the end, like Mark said, and we're talking about the benediction, but all the benediction is one example of a blessing. And we're going to see that there's a lot of different forms that blessing takes in the scripture, and we're going to talk about some of those. So there's also, I couldn't think of any way around this, it's going to feel a little bit Sunday schoolish in that I have to go through a lot of scriptures with you, so there's going to be more words on the screen than usual today. But that's just the nature of trying to understand what blessing is. So I want to start with the meaning of bless and blessing, and there are kind of three main forms you see it take in the scriptures. We're going to start with the first one, which is that God blesses us. There's a number of examples of how God blesses us in scripture. So some, and I know, I think Sunday school looked at some of these, but it starts right there in creation, where God created, you know, all the different spaces and places and things that fill them. God said they're good. And periodically, it says in Genesis, God blessed the fish and the birds. God blessed the first humans. God even blessed the Sabbath, the seventh day. God, later on in Genesis, and this is the old covenant. The covenant with Abraham is the old covenant. God blessed Abraham and his children and his family and those who would come after him. But God also blessed them that they would bless all the nations of the world. And then you come on into, well, Jeremiah again. That's not the one I thought it was. But this is quoted later on Palm Sunday. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. I'm not sure that's the right reference, but that is definitely a scripture. Like it's from Psalm 118. Anyway, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. That's God's blessing on the Messiah, who would be Jesus, who came into Jerusalem, and the crowd chanted that psalm before him. In the New Testament, there's still examples of God blessing people, blessing us. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Jesus would also say, "Blessed are those who hear the word and observe it." And Revelation, similarly, blessed are those who read and hear and heed the word. And that's going to be the bottom line, if you don't remember anything else today. What blessing is, it is the consequence, it is the overflow of what happens when we obey the Lord. I think we think of it as, you know, I have a genie bottle and I rub it and I make a wish and that's blessing. I'll win the lottery or, you know, gold coins will rain down from heaven. But that's not blessing. Blessing, as the Bible defines it, is what happens when people live in the will of the Lord. As they obey and respond to God's word, that is blessing. And that's what God desires for us. And so probably need to disconnect from the idea of that means material possessions and things and cars and whatever it is we wish for. But it's how God defines his goodness for us. And the way we access that is to obey, to listen. So Jesus, that one from Luke, Jesus actually replied to someone who shouted out, "Blessed is your mother who bore you." And Jesus said, "No, blessed are those who hear the word and keep it." So he corrected them to say, that's what blessing is. It's those who hear God and respond in faith. So that's the first example, God blessing us, and we access it through obedience, which comes from listening to God. The second type of blessing in Scripture is humans blessing God. And this causes a lot of confusion. But here are the examples. So in the Psalms, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless the Lord." Bless his holy name. So it's the other direction. You're like, well, how does that work? How can we bless God? And then several times in the New Testament, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. A number of the letters in the New Testament start with that declaration. Again, what does that mean? We sing the songs. I think we sang it last week or the week before. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. What are we doing when we say that? Well, it's like a mini prayer, a small prayer that is saying, I want to align myself with God's will and God's word. I want to step into that stream of God's blessing when we say, I bless the Lord. I still know that's confusing. And so what I thought of that's very close to this is when we say, I love you to one another. Of course, there is a kind of saying that's kind of self-focused, like I love you because of what you do for me, but the most mature, the most godlike, godly kind of love is saying I love you and I want to serve you and be there for you and take care of you and what your needs are. It's self-giving love, and then the best kind is when you have two people doing that for each other, right? Offering themselves for the other. That's kind of what blessing is like. Like if I tell Heather I love you, the best form of that is that I'm listening to what it is she wants or needs, and I'm offering myself to serve her, to love her, to be there for her, and it's relational. That's very much what it's like for us to bless the Lord. It's a form of saying I love you to God, not because of what God does for us, but because we are offering ourselves in service to the Lord. It's a worship kind of word. So it does go in both directions. God blesses us because his will and his word for us is good. And it is a place of blessing. And we can bless the Lord by responding back. I love you, Lord. And I want to seek what is your will for me. And I want to step into that stream of your blessing. A third kind of blessing that we also do is blessing each other. And this is also where it gets confusing, because there's a particular form of that in Scripture, but there's also something kind of like it that we use the word for a lot of situations. So we might even say, oh, that was a delicious meal. You blessed me with that good meal, which is a legitimate thing to say, but it's not quite what's in Scripture. When we bless each other, here's some examples of it. The one we already read where Aaron the priest blesses the people. So it's in the name of God, but he's doing it. May the Lord bless you and keep you. There's an example in the New Testament of the old man, Simeon, who's in the temple. And Jesus, baby Jesus, and Mary and Joseph come to the temple to make a sacrifice. And Simeon sees them and somehow recognizes this is the Messiah, the one God has sent. And Simeon speaks a blessing over the whole family, as well as over Jesus. So it's that kind of blessing of one another. At the end of the service, I pronounce a blessing over you. And it's certainly in the name of God. But what all of those are doing are pray. It's, again, a short prayer that the person being blessed would seek and find themselves in the will of God. So it kind of makes a claim on you. Right, when I pray at the end of the service, the Lord bless you, I'm putting hopefully a good burden on you, which is to say, may you seek the Lord, seek God's will in your life, and find there God's good blessings in your life. So again, I'm not up here at the end of the service making wishes. I'm asking God, whose name you bear, if you're a Christian, you carry the name of Christ, I'm charging you with going out and living, or at least trying to live in the will of God. We can do that with each other. Again, that's a prayer any of you can pray for each other. Just realize what you're praying. You're praying for a spouse or a friend or your neighbor to know God and to know what God's purpose and will is for them, and to line up with that. That's a very particular and a powerful and a wonderful kind of thing to pray for someone, to bless them. Well, I want to dig into our two passages today just briefly and look at each one, because they kind of unpack blessing for us. The first is in Numbers 6. And I just want to walk through some of the language in those verses. It begins by saying, and this is just the blessing part, the Lord bless you and keep you. Keep is another word for saving, for guarding, for holding fast to us. Aaron and the priest are saying to the people of Israel, may God, again, pour out his blessing as you seek his will, and may God hold you there as his people within the current of his will, and keep you from straying and call you back into that place of blessing. And then there's two verses. You may want to look in your bulletin for this. Verses 25 and 26 both start with kind of a parallel saying, may the Lord make his face shine on you, and may the Lord lift up his countenance. That's also face. We're told in Scripture that's not something we can actually see. It's too much for us. But it's the idea of God's presence being with you. And I think of that the idea of the blessing of the face. I think of a small child who has a need, right? Who might be calling out for mom or dad or grandma or grandpa, you know, I need something. And it's when the adult, you know, gives them their attention, right, and looks them in the face. That's our countenance. When we give attention to someone or something, that's what Aaron is praying here for the people, that God's attention would fall upon them. That could be a scary thing, but part two of both of those verses is that when God looks you full in the face, when God gives you that attention that you need, that he pour out his grace, he be gracious to you, and his peace. So that's the prayer for these people. And it ends after the formal part, verse 27, invoke my name when you do this. So it's may the Lord bless you. That is the name of the Lord. May the Lord bless you, make his face shine on you, give you grace and peace. Receive this in the name of your God, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And we would say, in the name of Jesus Christ. In fact, when you get to the New Testament, letter after letter takes all of that in number 6 and compacts it into the greeting. When Paul would write to Christians in one place or another, he would bless them by saying, grace and peace, God's grace and peace, be to you. And then he attaches the invocation of the name in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So before he writes anything else to them, he's putting that claim on them that says, if you claim the name of Jesus, if you belong to God, then receive God's grace and peace through hearing what God has to say to his people and obeying that, again, that obedience. And then I want to turn to Psalm 67. It begins with, and it probably shows you just how present that blessing in numbers was in the life of the people of Israel. Because it summarizes into the first verse the whole thing. God be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. So he's like calling to mind the blessing. But then now he's going to, David in Psalm 67 is going to describe what blessing looks like. And he walks through, basically, when God blesses you, the nations of the world are going to be blessed. That's not everything that God intends, but it's a huge part of what God's intends. It's the undoing of the curse, of the first disobedience, of the fall. God declares from the beginning, I'm coming after you to redeem you and bring the people of the world, humanity, back to myself. So Psalm 67 says, Lord, bless us. Bless us with your face, your countenance, your grace, and your peace, so that in our blessing, the nations will praise your name, will sing for joy. They will become part of your people as well. And of course, that's what God charged Abraham with. It's the heart of the blessing in the scriptures. If you'll remember last week, the call to worship begins as soon as we begin to come in, but just like the Samaritan woman who went into town to tell everyone that she had met the Messiah, met Jesus, the call to worship sent us back out into the world. In the same way, God's blessing points us outward. It's not just for us. We are blessed to be a blessing, to be sent back out. So at the end of Psalm 67, there's this picture of the flourishing of the earth. The earth has yielded its produce. Just think about the lushness of green pastures or fruit or vegetables, God's creation. That's a picture for what God desires for the hearts of humanity. God wants us to know who he is and be reconciled to him. And that's the goal of this blessing, that we live into God's will, and God's will is that the whole earth might know him. So finally, at the end of the service, my benediction, I pick up on these things. Most weeks, I will give some sort of short recap of the sermon. That is to say, this was God's word to you today in the scriptures. And so I'm inviting you to hear it again, to take it into your heart, to respond in obedience and faith. That puts you into the right place to experience God's blessing, right? So I'll, let's say I preached on forgiveness. I'll end the service by saying, you are forgiven and set free. Go out into the world in the name of, and then I invoke the name of the triune God, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Again, putting that claim on you if you are one of God's people. If you take the name on yourself, then you receive that blessing and that charge to go out in obedience into the world. You probably didn't think of all that, but that's what's going on at the end of the service. It's an invitation to be part of what God's doing. And again, like so many of the things we've looked at this summer, worship and all the components are not just what happens in this room. They have everything to do with what God's doing out there in the world. Of course, there are other blessing, carrying God's good news to the world is not the only thing on God's mind. It's just the one I wanted to talk about this morning. But all obedience to God, whether that's living out compassion and justice, whether it's declaring the good news of Christ's saving death, whether it's loving our neighbor or blessing our enemies, all of that is, and more, is how we respond faithfully to God's word to us. So we'll do some more blessing before we're done today. And then at the end, today we're actually going to sing a blessing over you, taken from number 6. And I just invite you to carry all that in your mind. What you're being invited to and challenged to is to take what you've heard, believe it in your heart, and commit to obeying it in faith as you leave. So may God give us ears to hear. Amen.